What is up, everybody? It is the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Rusty Mansell. It's the day after Christmas, December 26th. And listen, we wanted to stay on schedule. We're not going to be here for a long time, but we are here for a good time, Rusty. And we got some things we need to hit on after Christmas Day. Rusty's got all his Christmas shopping and all his Christmas gifting done. And so now can really focus on what's important in life, and that's football.
That's right. That's right. Shout out my girls. They got me Mark Morrison. Let me, where's it at? There shout out my girls. Got me a little Return of the Mac. Got some vinyl.
Yeah.
The dates. They treated dad right, man. They know my music. They know my music, that is man. Good Fleetwood. Stuff. I got Fleetwood Mac and Mark Morrison. So my vinyl collection is all good, man.
Yeah, so that's a good group, man. That's a good group. So it's finally Sugar Bowl week, Rusty, and I say that because game week is in quotations because today's Monday, essentially for the Sugar Bowl. I think it's actually technically Sunday if we really had to get into it. But you know, Georgia's going to they practiced today. They came back together as a team last night on December 25th on Christmas night, and now they'll practice on the 26th. And now it's full speed ahead. I mean, obviously, they still got other things to worry about, but it's full speed ahead, all Notre Dame, all the time now, and getting ready for this big game.
Yeah, so players traveling back in. The Georgia players will drive in this morning. The kids that went home for Christmas flying in today, they have can you imagine this, Jake? They got 11:30 run and workout. Merry Christmas. Welcome back to team. They'll have a meeting and they'll have a practice afternoon. So Kirby Smart gave the kids off a couple of days to go home. I saw Nate Frazier in California, see all the kids that are from all over. It's good for those guys to go home, get to spend time with their family, get back in, and it's go time for Sugar Bowl. That's for sure.
Yeah, and one of the things, you talk about kind of there's no easing back into it, and you look at this whole thing, you brought it up and you made a big deal about it. And I think a big deal should have been made about it that after winning the SEC championship game, it was Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I believe off, maybe Wednesday too. They got three or four days off. And then now they've got a couple more. Kind of go in with that whole thing. They kind of spread the practices out a little bit. They practiced like on Saturday. They took Sunday off, Monday, Tuesday, took Wednesday off. Like this has been a big time recovery and Rusty, the thing that has really struck me about this period between the SEC championship game is now is I don't know. I haven't done the official count on how many days it was. I know it was going to be like 24 days in total. Man, it feels like it's been a month already. Like it feels like they have just based on how fast and furious this football season came at us. It feels like Georgia's just been resting and recovering for months now.
Well, the good thing for Georgia is, they're accustomed and used to playing in the SEC championship and then playing a bowl game on the first. You know what I mean? So this is not something new. It's not like they have to give a calendar. Kirby Smart trying new things. They know what to do with their players. They know what has been successful with them. So there's no real guessing what's been different about this team that I think no other team had to face was the schedule and how brutal and how physical it was. And then you have to knock heads with another. You have to go round and round with a Texas team. You went eight overtimes the week before. I mean, this team has played a lot of football. So I don't want people to think they went into cruise control. They didn't go into cruise control. They went into recovery mode and refueling their bodies. And trust me, when they got after it, they wouldn't have walkthroughs in Athens. These guys were getting after it. And that's what kind of separates Georgia, in my opinion, and how they practice. And you've heard NFL GMs talk about it. So I don't want people to go, man, they're sitting there, resting on they're not. They're in recovery for a couple of days. But Georgia has a calendar of what they have used the last 4, 5, 6 years of having that off time between the Sugar Bowl, the SEC Championship and those January 1 bowls. So that's nothing new. But no team that under Kirby Smart, in my opinion, had faced a schedule like this. And those guys desperately needed some time off.
I don't care what metaphor you want to use, scratch and claw, climb, swim, fight, whatever it was, Georgia was doing something for its life there for a good little while, especially after that Ole Miss game and just trying to keep it alive, trying to keep fighting. I mean, the Georgia Tech game, the Texas game, they were just everything was predicated on just kind of moving forward. And once that was over, they had to kind of take a gasp. They had to catch their breath a little bit. And it brings us to the whole point that I'm wrestling with about this team, Russley. And that's the fact that, yeah, this is a different Georgia football team than we have seen all season long from a health standpoint. Like Trevor Etienne and Nate Frazier, a healthy Trevor Etienne and this version of Nate Frazier have not played in the back Texas. The only time we really see them play in the same backfield. The offensive line has been at least two men down for 2 or 3 months. And now they've got all of their kind of 8, 9 guys there. You know, defensive line hasn't been healthy all season long, and now it is. But you still have to wrestle with the whole idea that this Georgia team's shown up when it's felt like showing up and sometimes not at all. So you still got to kind of go with those two things. It makes it when people ask you questions, you do these radio interviews and they're like, hey, what can we expect from this Georgia team? And I feel like I'm giving a cop-out, poor-mouth answer when I say, hell, man, I don't know. Like, they're really good, and you're going to have a hard time beating them. I don't care if they play poorly or not, but I don't know. And so that's where this rest has helped this team a ton. Is it going to fix the inconsistencies, the thing you got to run into? And we won't know that until January 1st, and it still feels like forever away.
I'm confident in this, that Mike Bobo has always been very successful running the football. For whatever reason, this year in particular, they have not been able to run the football. They haven't. But Mike Bobo, a staple of Mike Bobo, they have been able to run the football. You go back to the Nick Chubb years. You go back to the Todd Gurley years. You go back to the – you know, last year when he had those guys, when
everybody knew you were going to run the football.
Yes.
Everybody, they still figured it out every single time. And
we're unable to do it this year. Now I will say this, this is the healthiest they have been. Nate Frazier was still a baby in that Texas game and really hadn't been counted on. They had to count on Nate Frazier. He had to pull them through some games. Trevor Etienne coming back is not getting enough attention. Coming back healthy. You saw him in the second half against Texas when they needed it. You add the run game threat of Gunnar Stockton, which is a different element. And I don't want to discount the ability of Carson Beck to drive the ball down the field because he had drops. And that's an off-season conversation, you know, of what could have been with Carson Beck this year. But there's a different – you're going to see – Jake, you're not copping out. You're going to see a different Georgia offensive package, and we're all going to watch it. It's going to look different. They're going to have some different things. I fully expect to see a lot more three tight end stuff. You know, they've done a lot of stuff with that. I think they're going to spread some teams out. You're going to have two backs that you have to worry about. There's a lot going on there with Georgia, and if I'm Notre Dame – I'm scratching my head because you only have one half of Gunnar Stockton, and it wasn't really 2.5, 3 weeks of preparation of what they can do with this kid. So, you know, it's just one of those things. I'm excited to see what they do. I mean, I'm not saying that Gunnar Stockton will come out and throw for 400 yards and run for 120. I'm just saying they're going to do some things differently offensive skill set wise with him. And I do think that nobody is really paying attention enough that Georgia's about to come into a game with a healthy offensive line and two well-oiled machine running backs, in my opinion, these two guys, and see what they can do. So we'll look at that and see what they do. But I think that Mike Bobo's got a chance to do some things that he hasn't been able to do, and because it's just a different kind of offensive package that they bring to the table with Gunnar Stockton, and excited to see what they do.
This is a semi-sorta segue into kind of portal talk, and we're going to hear from one of our partners before we get to that. But Gunner talk here, Rusty. So obviously, you talked about Gunner, the run game threat. We've gone over the fact that, hey, is Georgia going to have the intestinal fortitude to say, all right, dude, go handle 10 design runs in this ball game whenever we know we've got nothing behind you in terms of being ready. I'm not trying to say anything negative about Ryan Puglisi and Jalen Rashad. I mean nothing in terms of experience, at least for Jalen Rashad in over a year. So, you know, neither one of those guys are even as close to Gunner, as ready as Gunner is at this point. So you don't know kind of what's going to happen there. But at the same time, like, Gunner's a different quarterback. And so, you know, Georgia's got to kind of figure it out and get going there. And on top of it all, Georgia's hosted three transfer portal quarterbacks to come compete with Gunner next year, and he's known about all three of them. And I mean, what a time to be Gunner Stockton right now.
I mean, that is, it's got to be one of those things, like, it's a million different reasons why this damn portal's jacked up, but the calendar right now and what you're dealing with and trying to bring in kids. I think the Gunner Stockton situation, and I think the Penn State backup quarterback having to leave. You know what I mean? He didn't want to leave his team, but he had to leave because his window to go play somewhere else was going to be open. He wanted to stick around and play for Penn State. And don't say he could have. Yeah, he could have, but he would have missed opportunities for him to have. You know, it's just a bad deal. You look at Gunner Stockton. I mean, you think about this. You have Fernando Mendoza, who was on campus, we reported last week. He's sitting in quarterback meeting room with you. You know what I mean? You're trying to prepare for the national championship, and they've got a guy on campus. I mean, how awkward is that? It's like I talked about earlier. If I'm a wide receiver, or if I'm a defensive tackle, and I'm playing at X University, and they bring in some guy that's a junior, and they want me to show him around, I'm not sure how good that's going to go. You know what I mean? Like, this guy's coming in and try to take my minutes. So how uncomfortable is that stuff? It's just,
yeah. I think about back in high school. You know, when I was competing for a job with somebody, like, I didn't wish bad things on them or anything, but I really wish they weren't around so that I could win that job.
Well, you want to kick his ass too. I mean, even though it's your teammate, you want to be better than him. That's that competitive fire doesn't. It says a lot about a lot of different things. It's just a bad deal there. And you know, I do think that some of the people that either Georgia brought in or some of the people that Georgia was interested in was a little concerned that Gunner Stockton's going to have potentially three game head start on you. And, you know, what if Gunner Stockton comes in and balls out and wins this job? Like, you know, going in the offseason, that's not a good start. I mean, I'm trying to put myself in other people's situations. So that's one of those deals where
you have to.
And if I'm Georgia and there's kids that are interested in me that has played games, and I have game tape, yeah, absolutely. I'm absolutely looking at that. So the quarterback situation, if you don't get it right, you're in bad shape. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying that Georgia don't have it right, but I think Georgia's trying to make sure that they had all their bases covered and kind of look at this thing. But they've got highly recruited players in that room. I mean, these guys were highly recruited players. So we'll see what works out. And this Gunner Stockton thing is going to be very, very interesting in how it goes the next 3 weeks and how what happens going into spring practice.
I've been made fun of all year long about the amount I've talked about the health of Georgia's defensive line and Jordan Hall and Xavier McLeod. When are they going to do anything and all of this stuff? We've been talking about it all year long. When are they going to be – I totally agree with Bulldog Report right here. Christian Miller being back is just as big as ETN. I totally agree, man, especially when you consider how well Xavier McLeod's playing right now and how Jordan Hall is back in the mix. And then Nas Stackhouse, Warren Brinson – playing the best of his career, getting Miller back is huge. And that is something that was missing. And he's back. He's back. I didn't mean to change the subject on that, but I didn't want to miss Bulldog Report's comment there. But, yeah, with the whole Gunner thing, man, the mentally tough part of it is massive. And, you know, I guess if you're Georgia, you're always looking for something to learn about your guys. You're always looking for a way to figure something out. And I'm betting that they were watching Gunner pretty closely as they had these other quarterbacks in to be like, hey, how's this affecting him? And that'll tell you a little bit more about Gunner. Maybe not a whole lot you didn't already know. But, the biggest tool we've got as people, as insiders or as people who report on this thing, is to be able to put ourselves in other people's shoes. And sometimes you just got to make sense of a situation. And when you got a guy that's about to start a few games for you at quarterback and somebody's in the transfer portal looking for a starting job. Now, Deshaun Purdy's a little bit of a different situation because he's going to go play behind DJ Lagway. But, you know, Georgia wanted Fernando Mendoza. He wanted a chance to play right away, and he had a better chance to do that at Indiana and against a kind of a different schedule and had some ties there with his brother. All right, Prize Picks. Rusty, we got to hear from these folks because they're so good to us. There's only one prize pick for Georgia up right now, and that is Peyton Woodring. He is 6.5 kicking points, and I took the over against Notre Dame. So we went ahead and we've got that one. Listen, if you want to know what that means, Prize Picks, daily fantasy. It's very easy. It's skill-based. If you keep up with it, you've got a reasonable chance of having some success here, and you've got 100% chance of having some fun. Promo code DOGS gets you $50 on your first play of $5 or more. That's free cash, free money for you to play with, and it's great. I went over on Peyton Woodring, 6.5 kicking points, and then Rusty, I got over Brock Bowers, 1 rushing or receiving touchdown against the New Orleans Saints on the 29th, and I got James Cook over rushing, 1 rushing touchdown or 1 receiving touchdown against the Jets on December 29th. And he's having a huge year. James Cook's going crazy. So is Brock Bowers.
How about James Cook, man?
Brock Bowers is going to win NFL Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Rookie of the Year. I mean, there's a very good chance.
I'm going to give a shout out too. I'm going to give a quick shout out, which I know I do radio in Atlanta 1 day a week. You guys know that. And Steak Shapiro, longtime radio guy in Atlanta. He said it from day one, period. Day one, he said Brock Bowers is the most surefire pick of the NFL draft last year. He goes, I don't care what quarterback you could take. If you have to look at this draft and you want to draft a surefire superstar, a 10-year, he said Hall of Fame. You want to see the Hall of Fame guy, it's Brock Bowers. And this kid has done nothing to disappoint. We all love him just for kind of kid he was. And he will be, Jake. I don't know, man, where he is on the Mount Rushmore. That's another whole podcast we need to do one day. But you start talking about Mount Rushmores of Georgia football. Brock Bowers, 2 national championships. What he did last year in the SEC championship, I probably goofed that up by not filming him walking out of that locker room. The kid could not even walk. Could not even walk after that game. Probably took a shot to even play. So, shout out Brock Bowers, man. That dude is a legit alien from freaking Napa, California, man. That's crazy.
That's where Area 51 is, really, is Napa,
California. No doubt, bro.
Bowers was born out of a lightning bolt. I picked him in the 6th round. Like there was a little run on tight ends on my fantasy league. I picked him in the 6th round.
Oh, my God.
WTF, what are you doing? Oh, my God. This is crazy. I said, listen, I've been around for 3 years. I watched this thing up close. You just wait. And
I took Ladd McConkey, but it was a little bit later, but I damn sure took Ladd when I had the opportunity.
Let's hit some portal here real quick before we get going. Georgia's missed on Dane Key. They missed on Fernando Mendoza. Some other receivers have gone other places. Everything's panic behind the scenes, right? They're running around Butts Mir, like, you know, just screaming at one another. That's how it's going up at Georgia?
You know what I've learned about some of those guys and people? It's not so much panic because they've been doing it so long. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's disappointment for some of these things, but you just got to rally to the next one. And I'll share this, and maybe this is not the forum to share it. Maybe I'm wrong. I will. There was one player, and Georgia was recruiting him, and he was at a position of need. I would say that. And this kid was interested in Georgia. And his agent basically told him, don't go on that visit, because if you don't play at Georgia, if you can't win a job, you're screwed. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to cost yourself money. And there's so many elements and layers to these portal recruitments. And that's not a knock against that agent. I mean, that's what he was trying to tell his kid. But you got to understand some of the things that Georgia's dealing with. Different. You see a lot of these schools bringing in 20 and 25 kids. Well, their entire roster's freaking gone, or it's not great. You know what I mean? You look at Georgia, this damn 85 here is different dudes. Do they have needs? Yes, they have needs, but they don't have 10 portal needs. They have about 5 or 6 they would really like to hit on, but it takes a
really
it,
when you start
it talking takes about a needs. Special group. Yeah
when you talk about needs, you're really talking about like 3 or 4 guys, maybe
you know, maybe like, yeah well they I would think they would like to get some too deep, you know, some places. Yeah. And that's one of those things. Look, it takes a different dude to walk into that room at Georgia and most of those rooms and go, I'm here to work my you know what off. I'm here to get coached hard, and I'm looking long term. So,
and the one thing I feel like hurts Georgia a little bit, and every school that's still in the playoff, and I know some other schools in the playoff are landing guys at a better rate out of the transfer portal than Georgia is. So I'm not trying to listen. Losing Dane Key sucks. Losing Fernando Mendoza sucks. Watching some of these receivers at Georgia, I don't know that they were ever super interested in anyway. I think they were talking with, but they never had any of them in for a visit. They didn't push hard for visits early or anything like that. It all sucks. Like, watching Florida land receiver after receiver, I don't know how in the world it seems like they're going to have 17 or 18 receivers on, and all of them are going to be former five stars at some point. Like, they've recruited the hell out of them. They've done a great job. Mm-hmm. But I know a few things about Kirby from covering him over the years, and I don't want to say he never strikes out, but they almost never get left at the altar without somebody they like. So I feel like they're going to fill needs. And on top of it, they're going to figure it out. Whoever they get in that spot that they were going to put Dane Key in, whether they were going to thrust the freshman in there or whatever, the difference between Dane Key and the next guy is probably not as great as Dane Key versus a zero that everybody likes to kind of look at it in a vacuum. So, I mean, listen, you're missing on some portal prospects. There's some other ones out there. There's some more that's going to go in there. One thing
that's hurting
other playoff teams right now is the fact that they're not having mass departures. So you're not showing like, hey, we only have six receivers coming back. We need you. They still see these dudes on the right, and I'm just using that example. They don't have that kind of going on, whereas some other teams I feel like are filling outgoing needs that are glaring that they can sell on the front end.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it. There's all this stuff is going to be very interesting to see how it plays out with portal teams. Just, can you buy a national championship? Can you get 20, 25 players, and can you go win a national championship taking 25 players in the portal? Hasn't happened yet, but we're way early in this thing. Again, not digging too deep. As of right now, this particular portal class is not as deep when I consider like Georgia-type players as it was last year. That doesn't mean it won't get there in a hurry now, but last year, definitely, I think 10 or 12 kids that Georgia would have loved to have. Georgia's coming at things differently, and they're able to now because of the rev share thing and what's going to happen with players. It's just very interesting how it's going to work out. I it's hard to say what Georgia brought in at wide receiver. I know that's a position everybody talks about. I think they got some super talented freshmen. I definitely, Jake, you were on it the minute it kind of came out. Georgia needs an X, and I'm not going to sugarcoat. I think he would have been a really good fit at Georgia from what I knew of him.
Well, he was very much what Georgia needed. Absolutely.
Yep. You know, there's also the question too, does Colby Young get a year because he had a JUCO? Does Colby Young get his charges dismissed and all that? That's a whole nother conversation, but there is potential for an X player in Colby Young at that position to come back next year to get granted an extra year. So, there's that too. It's very interesting how Georgia's going to play all this out. It's early, so you don't even get crazy with it. But Jake, you and I both heard that CJ Wiley didn't do anything to disappoint Georgia in those first three practices that he was in.
And Colby didn't do anything in bowl practices to disappoint anybody either. I mean, they're practicing too and looking great. So, I'm not trying to tell anybody don't be frustrated. If you wanted to come into the transfer portal and clean up, you're frustrated right now. Branch Brothers still out there. Georgia's still working on those guys, working on some other guys too. We're right here at the end of the portal being open. So I suspect, it's just like a – it's just like a sales pitch, sell a bunch out of the gate. You sell a bunch with that sense of urgency at the end. I think you'll probably see some good players get into the portal right here at the end of the window, and that'll be that. But listen, we'll have all that covered for you.
Let me answer one question right here because I see this. From Red and Black. Reggie from Red. I know receivers are asking a lot, but at the end of the day, you do have to pay them. Reggie, take a look at that recruiting class and just take a look at that recruiting class and look at those wide receivers. And that's Georgia got after it in the wide receiver recruiting. I can assure you didn't walk in there and beat who they beat for those guys. And you didn't have a kid come all the way across the country that Ohio State was begging to go on campus. Now,
yeah, they didn't buy them out of that big wire bin next to the register.
Well, yeah, yeah. Is Georgia going to outbid anybody at wide receiver? Probably not. If it's only money, probably not going to win those. But to be very competitive for highly recruited kids, Georgia is definitely recruiting differently at wide receiver in this class. And I think that you saw that and what they did. And I'm excited about this freshman group, but Georgia's got to get an X receiver. We'll see what they do. We'll see if they got anything under cooked up. But, you know, Kobe Young could be coming back too. That's something that, you know, the timing of that key, you know, you and I talked about that, the timing of that key decision, because we both felt like this thing was trending pretty good to Georgia.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, a lot of people. And then the NCAA comes out with that rule, day before last, that new ruling. And all of a sudden, there wasn't a lot of smoke there with Georgia. So we will see how this thing works out. But and Georgia definitely tight end. I don't think anybody questions what Georgia's doing at tight ends. They're bringing in some guys. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have been on Elias Williams. If you follow me for any time, you know I have been on Elias Williams. I'm telling you right now that Ethan Barbour was not getting enough attention. And after seeing him up close 2 weeks in a row against Lee County and Langston Hughes and talking to both of those staffs that faced him, that kid right there, you better know who Ethan Barbour is, because that dude right there is different. Now, I liked him a lot. But, man, he's got something to him. I think both of those kids that Georgia just brought in at tight end. But Ethan Barbour, you're talking about physical and block and run people over and got great hands. Whew. He was underrated, in my opinion. I'm telling you, he's going to be a guy. Would never compare him to Brock Bowers. I'm never comparing another tight end ever at Georgia to Brock Bowers, period. You're not going to have one. But you won't say a damn good player. I'm telling you, Ethan Barbour, and I'm interested in our final rankings for 0-3. I know our guy, Charles Powers, he does his due diligence. He watches tape, and he loves to see best on best. So he's going to get two tapes of Ethan Barbour against Lee County and Langston Hughes, two very good football teams. And that kid did not disappoint.
He didn't. He had a big one. He's also a first-class five-star junk talker too. I mean, he likes to talk some trash, and that's fun to watch too.
Yep.
So we're going to have it all covered for you in the days to come. We'll be headed to New Orleans over the weekend. I think probably our next show will be somebody will be talking to you from New Orleans, I believe.
Lord have mercy.
Headed down. Me and Palmer headed down. It's going to be a big time down there. Going to eat some seafood and probably come back a little bit under the weather, like I almost always do when I come back from New Orleans.
Stay away from me, then. Stay away from me.
It's the price that must be paid. We love you here at Dogs HQ. We hope you had a Merry Christmas. We hope you have a phenomenal New Year, but we'll be back to talk to you before then. Take it easy.